الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please tell your friends or call your friends and let them know that Islamic study class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or somewhere you're taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And today's topic will be intoxicants or intoxication or drinking alcohol, anything that's going to make your mind foggy. And so I want to talk about that from Islamic standpoint. I had an experience recently where I was invited to an affair, and my wife and I, we couldn't attend that affair. Because why? Because they were serving alcohol there, and so we did not go. People did not understand why we didn't go, but we just couldn't go, because I'm going to tell you the reasons why we couldn't go to that affair, because Islam forbids us from being around or going to affairs that where they have whiskey or alcohol circulating, or some way of getting intoxicated of circulating within the area that we're in. And so I just want to talk about that just a little bit today. And so there's one hadith, or saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where it says, An Abi Umar, this is the son of Umar, Qala kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu muskirin haramun. And so it basically is a narration or saying by Ibn Umar, the son of Umar. And he says, every intoxicant is khamr, and every intoxicant is haram. Khamr basically is sort of a shield or a blocking of the mind. And sometimes the thing on the top of the women's head, the cloth that they wear on top of their heads, sometimes it's called a khimar. Some people say hijab, but it's called a khimar, which basically had the same letters, kha, mim, and ra, those same Arabic foundation, and those had those letters there. And so it's anything that's going to block or fog the mind. For the woman, of course, they're wearing the khimar on their head, and they're covering because Allah tells them to cover. But we're talking about intoxicant, how it blocks the mind. And Allah forbids us from drinking khamr or indulging in anything that's going to block the mind and really, really stupefy and make a person not functioning the way they normally function. Because you all know what I'm talking about, because when a person is what you call normal, they're not drinking or they're not high off of something, they act normal. They act, for the most part, sensible. And they talk that they have sense. They walk, they talk, they act, they interact with you. But when they get that, and they're mindful of what they say or what they do, but when a person get the alcohol in them or they get high, then they lose they lose all control over themselves. That inhibitions also is like open. They do things when they're under the influence that it wouldn't normally do when they're not under influence of some kind of a cumber or some kind of alcohol or drugs or something like that that changes their behavior. And you all know what I'm talking about. It's not anything new. That you know a person acts one way when they don't have this alcohol or this ingredients inside of them. They act when they don't have it, they act one way, but then sometimes they act worse or in a really bad way when they get the alcohol in them or the things that are going to block the mind, because they say things, they have really no, what you call no filter. They say whatever's on their mind or do whatever they feel. And so we are forbidden from doing that. So you'll find sometimes people find it insulting. Why can't you come to my affair? Or how come you're not drinking like everyone else or smoking like everyone else? We're not like everyone else. We're not allowed to do those things, meaning to drink, to get high off of. Could we drink water and tea, that kind of thing, or coffee? But in order to drink some kind of alcoholic beverage and to get high off it, to alter our minds, we can't get involved in that at all. That's why it says in this particular hadith or the saying here, and narrated by Umar, Ibn Umar, son of Umar, he said, "Kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu muskirin haramun," which is said, like I said earlier, every intoxicant is khamr, and every intoxicant is unlawful. Every, not just some, not alcohol, for example, and then you can go ahead and smoke marijuana, or you can sniff drugs up your nose, or punch it in your arm, and you can say, "Well, I'm not drinking." No, you're still wrong. You're intoxicating yourself. You're altering your mind. And it fogs up your mind. You're smoking or putting something in your arm, something like that, or up your nose, or whatever way you intake it. And it gets into your body, your system, and you act totally different from the way you normally act. So these kind of things that alter our mind, then we can't participate in it, and we can't take them. And again, for the Muslim, we can't even sit at the table where these kind of things are being served. We can't be around them to the best of our ability. I know sometimes in some places you can't help for being around it. You go to a place, you go order some food, and they happen to be selling alcohol in that particular place. Some Muslims don't even go in a place like that. And that's, of course, their choice. Or maybe you just get your food and go out, but you're not going to participate in the other things that the people are doing. And you watch the people. If you're there waiting for your food and you watch the people and you see for yourself how they act. When they get the alcohol in them or get whatever inside of them, the wine or whatever, they act totally different. They're more aggressive sometimes, and they say things that they normally don't say, and so they have no control over the tongue, over what their tongue is saying. And so I want to read something else. In the mission again by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and the mission that he said, from grapes wine is made, from dates wine is made, from honey wine is made, and from wheat wine is made, and from barley wine is made. So you have the grapes, you have the dates. You also have the honey, you have the wheat, and you have the barley, khamsa. You have five, khamsa shay. You have shay khamsa. You have five things where it's mentioning specifically that these things can be made into wine, and all these things are khamr, and we can't drink those things. Sure, grapes without turning to wine, that's one thing. Dates, sure, that's no problem. Wheat, we make bread out of them. Honey, sometimes we put it on a cereal or eat it straight. Or barley, we make various things with that. Sure, normally it's okay. But the thing is, when you make it into, when you ferment it and you make it into some type of wine for getting high, for drinking, then it becomes kummer, and it makes a person not be able to think straight. Let me read on. And it says here, like as mentioned before, every intoxicant is kummer, and every intoxicant is forbidden. He who drinks wine in this world and dies when he is addicted to it, not have repented, will not drink in the next, meaning not drink in the hereafter and akhir. So that's be very, very careful. You're doing something that is forbidden. You haven't asked Allah to, please Allah, forgive me. Make me strong in this area. Now, some people do. Some people may say something like they have a hangover, and you all know what I'm talking about. They drink so much one night, and next day they have this big headache in their head. They have this big headache, I'm sorry. And so what they'll say is, oh God, let me get through this. I won't drink anymore. I shouldn't have drunk so much last night. Really, from an Islamic standpoint, you shouldn't have drunk at all. But the thing is, oh, let me get through this. I won't drink anymore. And sometime Allah allowed them to get through it, make the head feel better. But not long after that, they're doing the same thing again, and they're drinking again, and they may ask the same thing again of Allah. Oh Allah, help me to get rid of this headache. I promise this time I will not drink anymore. This is what people sometimes do. And so again, it says every intoxicant is kummer, and every intoxicant is forbidden. He who drinks wine in this world and dies when he is addicted to it, nothing and not having repented, will not drink it in the next world, or not drink all in the next world. I won't get into that with you right now, because what I want you to do is I want you to go to your various Islamic scholars, go to a masjid, a place of Muslim worship, and ask them what do they mean by will not drink in the next life, or the next world, or in the akhir. So ask them about that. So maybe the leader there can explain to you what does it mean not to drink in the next life. And he can explain it to you. What does it mean? That you won't be drinking in the next life. And you might say read Quran. I ask you, encourage you all to read Quran. And it might say sometime that the person that's in heaven and paradise will have wine and honey and milk to drink, all these kind of substance to drink. But understand, it's not the kind of wine like we drink here where it intoxicates a person. The kind of wine we're talking about, one type of drink we have there, does not intoxicate a person, does not block the person's mind, does not make the does not stupefy the individual, and the person still will be able to filter themselves and what they say and have control over their behavior. It's not the wine I'm talking about forbidding you. It's not forbidding you to do. I'm talking about the wine that is nourishing, that is good. No alcohol or anything like that, formation of the wine, meaning that it's just going to sit for a while, sit until it turns into wine. The grapes and the wheat and the barley and all those things and the honey, all those things and the things I mentioned to you earlier, that it ferment and turn and turns into wine. No, you don't have that in paradise. There's no getting high in paradise. You don't urinate in paradise. No spitting, that kind of thing that we do here in this world. We don't do those kind of things in paradise. So I just want to also mention one more thing. As I mentioned to you before, it says here, an Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning from the Prophet Muhammad, or from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And he said this, he said, kullu muskirin haramun. Here, he's saying, every intoxicant is unlawful. It didn't just say wine is unlawful or barley unlawful, fermented, that kind of thing. He did not say that. He said anything, everything that intoxicates a person is forbidden, and we had to keep away from it and stay away from it. And as I mentioned to you before, don't even sit around it or be around it. If it had a spread on the table, like and had a wine there, not to be around it. So for us as Muslims, right, for example, people here in the United States that celebrate Thanksgiving, where a lot of people, family members come and they eat turkey and they have food and they do a lot of socializing with family members and other whatever kind of other holidays. But sometime at these kind of events or parties, whatever celebration, they have alcohol. People oftentimes they can't socialize without alcohol being present some kind of way. If they have a cookout or a picnic or something like that, more than likely alcohol is going to be present. So those kind of events we cannot be around or cannot be not near it as much as we cannot be near it. Perhaps we have an example where sometimes we may go to something and initially there's no drinking alcohol at the beginning. Okay, so you go there and you eat, be with your family. Okay, no problem. But the thing is that you may have family members that had a lot of respect for your faith, Islamic faith. They would come and say, look, we're getting ready to serve the alcohol, so I need, so I want you to know. And then at that point, of course, we leave. It's all right, no problem. Thank you very much for telling us, and we're going. Sometimes I could try to convince us to stay, but you can't do that. We're going. We're out of here. We just can't stay around it. You do that. That's up to you. Meaning you are not of the same faith as I. Then that's up to you. If your faith or your way of life allows you to do that, but my way of life does not allow me to do that. Even when you have, for example, if you have a place where you have a lot of Muslims are there and it entertain people from other countries where alcohol is okay. And so I want to remind the Muslims in other places that come from Muslim majority countries that you shouldn't even be serving alcohol there to make your guests feel comfortable. So for them to come to an affair that you're given, you have control over. And here, again, it says that every intoxicant is unlawful. Every intoxicant. Not that it's okay to entertain people from other countries, other places in the world, or guests from other places, because this is what they do, they drink. But no, you're in my house, you're my guest, we don't do that here. You do that after you leave here, before you come. That's your choice. I have no control over that. But in my house, under my roof, I have control, and we do not have alcohol in this house or any way for a person to get high. And also, please don't go out and drink or smoke or whatever you're gonna get intoxicated, and then come back to the party. I prefer you not even do that. If that's the case, honestly, I prefer you not even come to my affair. And of course, you could limit people. Don't be afraid to limit people. They're in your house. They're in your country, and then so they're respecting you. You're respecting them. And also they're respecting you, and you let them know you can't do that here. Let them know ahead of time. You won't be able to. You can come or don't come. No alcohol served. I know there was a president in the United States, and during his term as the president of the United States, he, from what I recall of this man, that he would not, he told all, he was a religious man. So he said all alcohol is removed from here. I don't know about smoking, but alcohol is removed from the White House here in the United States. People complained about it. They were not happy about it, but it's his house. And so that's what he said. No alcohol. I respect that. They're in your house. They come to visit your house. They're at your dinner, You're serving them. They're your guests. And so you don't serve in alcohol. Everything else pretty much you can serve, but wine and whiskey and the like, a beer, whatever, we don't serve that here. I'm doing our meals. You can do all you want after you leave, but while you're here, you can't do that. So this is one of the things that is forbidden in Islam, that a person is not intoxicated. So if there, you say, well, I know so-and-so, he or she, they drink or they ain't getting intoxicated. Matter of fact, they get high with me. Okay, that may be true. I don't know. I'm not there. But the thing is, they are wrong in what they're doing. You all are my students. You know what Islam says to do and what Islam says not to do. And you can inform them and tell them, no, I understand that Islam said not to do that. And you have your proof. They can listen to this episode. All my proofs are not coming from me, but they come from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, where he says every intoxicant is unlawful. Every intoxicant is haram, is meaning unlawful or prohibited. And so you can let them know that without any shame at all, but that you're telling them this thing. And you know what? You may be helping them out. You may be helping them out by maybe keeping them from going to the hellfire or getting punished by Allah because of the fact that they're drinking. I thought your religion told you not to drink. And yes, our religion tells us not to drink, and they should not be drinking or getting high or anything like that. And also encouraging you, instead of you encouraging them, they're encouraging you not to drink and not to get high because it is forbidden for you to do so. And it is also mentioned, I want to go a little bit further, when you're talking about the five that I mentioned before, a person let it sit for a while and then it turns into an alcoholic beverage or some way of getting high. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said something similar to saying, now or then, O people, the revelation about the prohibition of alcoholic drinks was revealed. And alcoholic drinks are extract from five things: grapes, dates, honey, wheat, and barley. And the alcoholic drink is that which confuses or stupefies the mind. Alcoholic drink or anything that confuses the mind and stupefies the mind, we cannot get involved. Yes, sometimes people here, for example, in the U.S. and maybe other places where they used to put what they call the model glue for model airplanes and that kind of thing, I put a model together, they put it in the bag, and then I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. I'm just saying what they did here. And they would sniff the glue. Or we sniff other intoxicant, other products you could buy pretty much at any store. They sniff it, and get some kind of intoxicant, some kind of high off it. Again, they're confusing the mind and it's stupefying the mind. And so that's what they would do. Or would take some cough drops, and that makes a person drowsy, and also again, is something that makes a person high or confused and alters the mind. And so these are other things that people do in order to get high. And again, all these things in Islam, other things you all can think about, and you know what I'm talking about, that no, you should not drink, you should not take because it's going to covering your mind, so you'll be confused and you won't be able to think straight, and you won't have any control over yourself. Now the other part to this, another part to this is the punishment. Is that if a person drinks these forbidden things, if they drink it in the things that are forbidden in this world, Allah will not accept their prayers for 40 days, meaning 40. Days, Allah will not accept their prayers, but if they repent, and then if Allah accept their repentance, okay, then he'll accept their prayers. And then it talks about a person who drinks and drinks and drinks and don't ask for forgiveness from Allah. This person, what will happen to them is that this person will drink a kind of a discharge from the wounds that was flowing from the inhabitants of hell. If anyone deserves it, in other words, serves it to a minor, serves it to other people, and does not distinguish between lawful and unlawful, it is binding on Allah that He will give him to drink the discharge of wounds flowing from the inhabitants of hell. And so in the hellfire, the person wears a special kind of clothing, not comfortable at all. He has a special kind of food, if you will, from a tree, and not tasty at all, very, very bitter. Also, the person will have to drink. It was like they look on the menu in a store or something and say, well, give me that, give me this, and give me that, and give me this to drink. It doesn't work like that. What they will have to drink is the pus or the fluid that is coming from the wounds of the person that is inside the hellfire. So if you drink and don't ask for repentance from Allah, then that would be your punishment in the hellfire. And in this world, for a Muslim to drink, Allah will not accept their prayers for 40 days. They still have to pray. They say, well, I'm not going to accept my prayers for 40 days. So for 40 days, I'm going to kick back and relax and not get up for the prayer in the morning or stay up to make the prayer at night and all the ones in between. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because they're not going to be accepted. You still have to make those prayers. You still have that obligation to make those prayers. But Allah will not accept it. Now you ask Allah for forgiveness, then perhaps Allah will forgive you and accept. But if you're a drinking person, a person that gets high all the time, and so for this individual, Allah will not accept from you your prayers for 40 days. 40 days will not accept your prayer. And then if you go to, and then you die and you go to hellfire, the only thing you have to drink there is the pus or the fluid from the wounds of the inhabitants of the people in the hellfire. No one wants this. No one wants it at all. Can you imagine such a thing? Next time you wound it, or you may have a wound right now and it's kind of oozing come from it. And so just think if you had to drink that and that only. And it's a foul kind of oozing that coming from the body of the person or the people that are in the hellfire. So please, I beg you, my students, to stay away from it, from this drinking. I want to mention something else. This also is a very, very important, along with the things I mentioned earlier, is that the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, the adulterer, meaning the person who married, for example, had sex with a person who they're not married to, he is not a believer at the moment when he is committing adultery. And sometimes it says the person, Iman, their faith, it kind of leaves them while they're committing this act, whatever act that may be, kind of hovers above them while they're performing the act, and then when they finish, then it comes back to them. Also, the person that drinks wine is not a believer at the moment he is drinking the wine. And the thief is not a believer at the moment when he is stealing. And a robber is not a believer at the moment when he is robbing and people are looking on. And so I want to remind my students is that you don't want your faith to rise above you and leave you or not be a believer. Because why? Because you are committing adultery or that this topic, you're drinking or drinking of a wine or you're a thief or you're a robber, those kind of things. So you don't want to do that because your iman leaves you. Not getting away with anything. I'm robbing somebody. I'm a thief. I'm drinking, committing adultery. I'm getting away with everything. No one sees me, but Allah sees you. As I mentioned to you before, you have an angel on your right shoulder and an angel on your left shoulder. Angel on your right shoulder writing down your good deeds. Angel on your left side, left shoulder writing down your bad deeds. So you're not getting away with anything. And so you think you are, but you are not. No one wants their faith to leave them or be considered a non-believer. And so I'm going to stop now. I go further, but I'm going to stop right now. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.